This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Proverbs. Now, here's Pastor Sandy as he teaches through the book of Proverbs, chapters 1 through 4.
You know, I have female acquaintances. They're women that I know, that I like, and that I respect. But I want you to understand, I have only one female friend, and that's my wife. And that's the way I like it. Don't set yourself up for trouble. Well, verse 20 tells us, so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the path of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. If you don't want to be cut off or uprooted, then apply wisdom. Solomon will have more to say about the loose lady in chapters 5 through 7. Chapter 3 begins, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Hey, apply wisdom and you'll live longer and you'll live better. He says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You know, some folks overlook truth in order to show mercy. Other folks ignore mercy in pursuit of the truth. A person who manages to give proper honor to both mercy and truth is the person who's taken heed to wisdom. And it's the person who other people will look up to and esteem. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And here is a favorite verse for many, many people. You know, if we were to survey the prayers of most Christians, I have no doubt that the most top-rated request would probably be, Lord, show me your will. How often we pray for God to show us his will. Lord, direct our steps. And here God promises to answer that prayer if we meet three conditions. Step up and trust God. That's what he says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then step back and question the accuracy of your own perspective. And this is what a lot of people fail to do. Yes, trust the Lord in all your heart. But then don't lean to your own understanding. Realize that you could be in error, that you could not be seeing this thing correctly. Even Christians aren't always right. Then the third step is to step out and to acknowledge or apply God's word to your life. So here it is. Step up and trust God. Step back and question yourself, but then step out and take what you know of God's word and apply it to your life. You do those three things, and then God will direct your path. He'll make sure that you're walking in his will. Verses 5 and 6 deal with direction, but the enemy of direction is deception. And that's what he addresses in verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Reminds me of the woman who married Mr. Right. She finally found him, Mr. Right. She just didn't check his first name. It was always. Hey, I don't care who you are. You're not always right, okay? None of us are mistake-proof. Fear God, admit your fallibility, and avoid deception. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Desire God's direction, then avoid self-deception. And there will be a genuine, tangible dedication. You'll give to God. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. In fact, the first sign of self-deception is a person holding out financially on God. You know, you hear it all the time. People talking about how they belong to God. Oh, I love the Lord. But you don't love him enough to cut a check and give to him a tithe of your income. What kind of dedication is that? If God doesn't have your checkbook, Well, then how can you truly say he's got the rest of your life? Tithe means tenth. God told Abraham, who, by the way, was the father of our faith, to honor him with the first fruits, or with the first 10% of the spoils. Remember, this was long before the law. People will say, oh, well, that's the law of Moses. It doesn't apply to us today. Abraham was before the law. Abraham was the father of faith. Aren't you walking in faith? Don't you want to be a person of faith? Well, then why wouldn't you follow in the footsteps of Abraham and tithe a tenth of your resources to God? And here Solomon promises his son, tithe to God, and what will happen? Your barns will be full. Your vats will be overflowing. It's simple. You give to God, and God will see to it that he'll give to you. J. Vernon McGee, he cut to the chase on this. He wrote this. Genuine spirituality is not the length of the prayer you pray. It is the amount of the check you write. That's putting it pretty blunt, but that's true. Wisdom seeks direction. It avoids deception. It expresses dedication, and it embraces discipline. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Now, I don't spank your kids, and you don't spank my kids, especially now when they can spank you back. Even when they were little, that's the rule. I mean, I don't spank your kids, you don't spank my kids. Only a parent has the right to spank his kids. And this is both good news and bad news. And here's what you don't want to hear. If you're bucking, if you're bailing out on God, if you're not dealing with the issues that he's pressing on your heart, here's what God will do. He'll spank you. He'll take you to the woodshed. He will find some ways to apply some pain in your life until you see the danger that you're ignoring. That's what we do when we spank our kids. And God will spank you. That's what you don't want to hear. But here's the silver lining. Here's the good side of that. If God spanks you, that means that he considers you his kid. And that's good news. Don't despise his discipline. When God puts us through a little pain to get our attention, it means that he's not through with us. It means that he loves us. And that he disciplines his kids. Verses 13 through 18 list the dividends of wisdom. He says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Wisdom yields valuable dividends. Trust me, you'll do far better seeking wisdom than you will in investing in the stock market. He says, length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. You need to date this lady. She's super, this lady wisdom. Once again, Solomon personifies wisdom. You know, it's interesting, some scholars see Jesus in these next few verses, for Jesus is the repository of all wisdom and all knowledge. He says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. Jesus too was involved with God in the original creation. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down with dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be, the older I get, the better that sounds. Your sleep will be sweet. That's nice. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Notice here, the sudden terrors. This is a big concern that Solomon has for his son. How will he respond when the sudden terrors come upon him? When calamity strikes, and it does strike all of us at times. It's wisdom that will bring deliverance to his son. In a crisis, that's when it's important that you trust in God's wisdom, and lean not to your own understanding. Well, the chapter closes with a collection of don'ts. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power of your hand to do so. In other words, in action. When you had the power to do someone good and you didn't do it, that's as much a sin as actually inflicting harm. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. If you've got it and you feel God leading you to give it, go ahead and give it. Now that doesn't mean that you should give it if you've got a bill in the mail that needs to be paid. That's not what it's suggesting. But if you've got some extra and God says share it, then just do it. If you're always waiting to do it, you'll never do it. You know, when you have the power to do good, go ahead and do it. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Be careful how you treat your neighbor. You might need him one day. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. In other words, don't go around the neighborhood picking fights. It's irritating people, aggravating people. He says, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Chapter 3 teaches us that God's wisdom provides direction, avoids deception, expresses dedication, embraces discipline, enjoys dividends, brings deliverance, and emphasizes certain don'ts. I guess you could say wisdom is de bomb. Walking in God's wisdom enriches our lives in so many ways. Well, once again, chapter 4 begins with the heart of a father toward his son. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. And you know, you should be thankful if you've got a father who gives out good doctrine, who has taught you the truth, who's taught you God's word. You should be thankful. He says, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. Now, evidently, Solomon was somewhat of a mama's boy. Remember, he was the second son of King David and Bathsheba, after their first son had died as a judgment against their sin. And so apparently, Bathsheba, she kept little Solomon close for a long, long time. I mean, he was kind of her boy, you know. He grew up as a mama's boy. And he needed some special encouragement from his father. Verse 4. He also taught me, and he said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, meaning wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. And Solomon took David's instruction here to heart. For in 1 Kings chapter 3, God comes to Solomon with a blank check. He says, make a request, any request, and I'll grant it to you. And you remember how Solomon answered? He answered wisely. He did make wisdom the principal thing. When Solomon asked for wisdom in return, God answered him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor. Solomon asked for wisdom and he got it. But in addition, he got everything else he could have asked for but didn't. God blessed him with both riches and honor. Solomon was the richest man who's ever lived. Here's the moral of the story for you and me. In all you're getting, get understanding. Always remember, wisdom is the principal thing. He goes on, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. You know, I hope you know that we live in a big, bad, ugly world. And Solomon warns his son not to be naive. For there are evil people in this world who refuse to call it a day until they sin and until they can encourage someone else to sin. You see, they're not content with just sinning themselves. They target other people to drag down with them. You need to beware of these people. You need to be wise and watch out for these people. He says, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness, for they do not know what makes them stumble. You know, it's bad enough to have problems, but the worst dilemma is to be ignorant of the cause of your own problems. And this is the problem with the fool. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now pay close attention to verse 23. It's one of the key verses here in the Proverbs. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In Scripture, the heart is the seat of our desires. And wisdom chooses its desires carefully. Understand, desire determines destiny. We all end up worshiping what we want. You desire money, and money will master you. You desire sex above everything else, and you'll become a slave to sex. You desire fame, and your life will be one big ego trip. The issues of my life flow out of what I choose to harbor in my heart. Whatever I desire most, whatever occupies my inner life, out of that will flow the issues of my life. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with desiring what's good and godly. There is a place for desiring money and sex and influence. But it's all about managing what's in my heart. That's why Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, manage your heart so that none of these secondary desires become uppermost. Our utmost passion should always be our pursuit of God. Here's what Solomon is going to make clear in the Proverbs. The heart is the headwaters of life. Therefore, if there's a problem downstream in my conversation, in my language, in my relationships, in my parenting, in my finances, then you can trace that problem back to the heart. It all goes back to the heart. The stream is poisoned at the source. In other words, my root problem isn't my circumstances. It's never my circumstances. My root problem is always what's in my heart. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. You see, here's how God sees us. We're all like squeeze bottles. That's what you are right there. You're a squeeze bottle. Your heart is the inside of that bottle. So when the bottle gets squeezed by pressure, by circumstances, it's not the squeeze that determines the contents or that colors the contents. The squeeze only reveals what was put into the bottle earlier or what the bottle had been holding. You see, society blames sin on the squeeze. Society tells us that we're all victims of being squeezed. We sin because we're squeezed too much. We're too stressed out. That's why we sin. But that's not what Jesus says. In Matthew 15, verse 19, Jesus says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness." The problem came out of the heart. It wasn't that we were squeezed. The squeeze only revealed what was in the heart already. Proverbs agrees with this. We are not victims of external forces. The issues of life always spring from the heart, so that if there's a problem, you can trace it back to the headwaters. That's where the life has been poisoned. Ultimately, what comes out of us is what we put into us. That's what we need to be teaching our kids. When our kids get angry at their sibling, "Oh, she hit me. He hit me." And they get all ugly and they get all angry. Don't let them blame their response, you know, on their sibling. What comes out of their life stems from their heart. They've got to look in their heart. Is your heart right, honey? That's what we need to keep addressing. We're so quick to blame other people. People go through their whole life blaming the people around them. They blame the squeeze for what's inside the bottle. What you put into the bottle is what's going to come out. It's not the problem. You know, we're a bucket, and we fill up that bucket. And oftentimes we get bumped, and we think, oh, you know, the bump is our problem. It's not the bump that's the problem. If you got good stuff in the bucket and you get bumped, good stuff will come out. But if there's bad stuff in, if you get bumped and bad stuff comes out, it's only because there was bad stuff in there in the beginning. You know, this is a powerful verse. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Are you managing your heart? Are you careful about what you desire? Are you making sure that the major things are major and the minor things are minor, and that you're not minoring on the majors and majoring on the minors? You want me to repeat that? Are you making sure of that? We all need to be managing our hearts. Big theme in the Proverbs. Verse 24, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you." And again, how do you do that? By monitoring the content of your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 34, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What comes out of your mouth was in your heart. You see, the heart is like the well. The mouth is like the bucket. Pour out the bucket and you'll see what was sitting in the well the whole time. And you just didn't know it. You can tell about what's in a person's heart by what comes out of their mouth. Again, it's all about the issues of the heart. Verse 25, "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you." Watch what you're doing. In other words, keep your eyes on the road as you travel through life. Pay attention. "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." Guys, it's the slight deviation. It's the little compromise that sets us up for major failure. In 1983, when the Korean Airlines flight 007 left Anchorage for Seoul, Korea, no one noticed that the navigational system had a 1.5-degree error. Even 100 miles outside of Anchorage, the flaw was still undiscernible. But as the 747 passed the Aleutian Islands, it started to stray off course. Before long, it had penetrated Soviet airspace. Russian MiGs were scrambled, and eventually the plane was shot down, killing hundreds of innocent people. And it was all because it started out just a little bit off course. This is what happens to us spiritually. A slight deviation in doctrine ends up proving deadly. A compromise in conduct, ever so slight, grows, and the fissure gets wider until you suddenly break and it ends up fatal. This is why he says, pay attention to the path. Refuse to turn the slightest to the right hand or to the left hand. Wisdom stays in the center of God's will.
Proverbs keeps things simple, while other books of the Bible go into lengthy detail about theology and right living. Proverbs has compiled truth into simple to learn, simple to live out sayings that can still radically change your life here on earth. The point of Proverbs is simple too. Read it and apply it. We hope today's message on Sandy Adams Radio has been an encouragement to you. Is there anything we can be praying for in your life? We'd be honored to do that for you. So please give us a call at 770 770-736-2828. That's 770-736-2828. We'd like to meet you in person, too. If you're in the Atlanta area, come join us on Sunday morning at 9:30 or 11:15 a.m. for a time of worship and Bible study with Pastor Sandy at Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain. When you visit, you'll find energetic and friendly people ready to welcome you into our family of faith, hear sound, biblical teaching, and find the Spirit moving in our time of worship. We're excited to have you join us, so visit sandyadams.org to find out more and get directions. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday. In the meantime, you can listen to additional messages in Proverbs and other books of the Bible at sandyadams.org. Just click on Through the Bible under the Series tab to browse our audio library. Thanks for tuning in to Sandy Adams Radio.